My family spent 20 years on the run, fleeing from threats I still struggle to fully comprehend.
There's people out there that want to do us harm.
We got a phone call saying that your father's thugs were coming to break my legs.
Run, Hide, Repeat, the unbelievable true story of a fugitive family and the unimaginable truth of what we were running from. Available now on CBC Listen and everywhere you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
We just heard on the radio that there was a fire. And then as we got closer to home, we could see the smoke. And it's you know, incredible. And it's across the road. We're sort of the subdivision across the road.
It is a fast-moving fire just outside of Halifax that started yesterday afternoon, and by evening, thousands were already evacuated. Dozens of fire crews are struggling to contain it. The Halifax Regional Municipality has declared a 7-day state of emergency for affected areas, and schools are now closed in places where the fire is burning. At least 10 homes have been destroyed in the Westwood Hills subdivision in Upper Tantallon, Nova Scotia. John Barrington is a roofer in Dartmouth. He was at the scene yesterday. John, good morning.
Good morning.
Tell me what you were doing yesterday when you got wind of this fire.
We were doing a roof right next door to where the fire started. And basically, man, we were on the roof and started smelling smoke. And it kind of piqued our interest. Looked up over the peak of the roof and the backyard was on fire.
What did it look like? Tell me what you saw.
Well, it happened so fast because it was quite windy. It was just a small fire at first, and then all of a sudden there was 50-foot trees on fire.
So what did you do then?
Well, we ran and told the homeowner that there was fire next door, called 911, and people started seeing the smoke themselves around, and we're telling everybody, you know, get out and do what you can, and basically just tried to get the fire or keep the house from burning down and get the people out of it.
So it sounded like it moved pretty quickly. As you said, there was nothing, then you smelled smoke, and then suddenly these 50-foot trees were on fire.
Absolutely. It was jumping was the worst part. We were there trying to do what we could do, and then all of a sudden there was a fire started behind us, and then all of a sudden there was a fire started 20 feet the other direction. It was jumping, and it was moving very fast and very hot. Yeah.
I was going to say, what did it feel like?
It was very hot and very smoky.
I don't think we're going to be able to get into the house.
And so when this is happening, as you said, there are people who are there in those homes, the homeowners there. You tell that homeowner, what else did you do to try and let people in the neighborhood know?
Well, it was me and my crew. The house that we were working on, I went in there and kind of forced the lady to come outside and get out of the house, her and her child and her cat. But and then the other guys in the crew were on the street and, you know, telling everybody that they could, you know, hurry up and get out. Yeah.
And then how quickly was it spreading after that? Where was the fire going from that point?
Well, I don't know, probably about 10 minutes or so after we called 911, the fire truck showed up. And It was spreading so fast that they pretty much immediately evacuated us, told us we got to go.
And so before you smelled that smoke, you had no sign that there was a fire that was that close?
No. It happened so fast, man. It was pretty intense, really.
What do you think has happened to those houses?
Well, apparently the house that we were working on, the fire department did get it stopped right just before the house caught fire, but I'm led to believe that there was a bunch of other people that weren't so lucky.
Hmm. And you were evacuated out of the area?
Yeah.
So what was that like? I've seen some of the footage of people trying to drive down the road, and you see like the bank of smoke, and you can see some of the fire kind of, you know, popping through some of the trees and stuff. What did it look like when you were trying to get out?
Well, yeah, that was, you described it pretty good, except for at the start, we were right next to it. It was, like I said, it was pretty hot. We were getting little embers and stuff hitting us, and that's how close we were.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds terrifying.
It was pretty freaky at one point in time, for sure.
Yeah. Have you ever seen anything like this before?
No, and I've been doing this kind of stuff for a long time, and no, No, nothing like this.
No. So, having done this, I mean, what happens now, do you think? These fires are still burning in a bunch of parts of the area outside of Halifax, and you have the state of emergency that's there. What's your sense as to what's going on right now?
I'm not really sure, to say the truth. I'm just getting up here not too long ago myself and just meeting up with the fellas and, you know, learning what's going on myself, right? So, I don't know. I know that a lot of people are hurting right now, that's for sure.
Yeah. I'm glad to talk to you about this. This is quite a scene, not something that you would expect to have happen on a Sunday afternoon.
Absolutely not. I was looking forward to sitting down drinking some beer, but that didn't happen.
And suddenly you're fighting a fire.
Well, suddenly I was fighting a fire, exactly, yeah. Yeah.
John, take care of yourself, and thank you very much.
Not a problem at all, thank you.
John Barrington is a roofer in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. Tina Simpkin is a CBC meteorologist in Nova Scotia. Her family was forced to evacuate their home yesterday. Tina, good morning to you.
Well, good morning to you.
How are you doing?
Well, you know, I'm doing okay. Maybe it hasn't set in just yet about the events that just have happened over the last 24 hours. But right now, I can tell you, and I can honestly say that I feel very grateful. I have my kids that were with me yesterday. I got into my house in time to get the pets, and we got out of there. And I have a place to stay at my mom's, and not everybody can say the same thing.
So John was talking about what he saw. He was on a roof, and the fire appeared in the backyard. Where were you when you got word that there was this fire?
Well, we were actually in a ball field. We were past the airport, about 35, 40 minutes away from my home. And so every ball player on that team was from the Hammonds Plains and district. So Hammonds Plains covers Hammonds Plains. It covers Upper Tantallon, Tantallon. It also covers Timberley. So kind of a circle around the outskirts of Halifax and very close to the city. So we knew that there was a fire going, and we were all kind of monitoring the social media, seeing what our neighbors were saying about this fire. So the ball game ended, and I've got to tell you, you know, we were all pretty excited about this weather because it's been so cold in Nova Scotia for the month of May. It's also been very, very dry. And in fact, tonight there are frost advisories in effect for parts of the province. So the weather has been all over the map, but what has been consistent is the lack of rain, and we haven't seen a whole lot. So we are all driving home, and as we, I mean, you could see the plume of smoke from where we were. And again, we are about 35, 45 minutes away on the highway, away from where our homes were. And we started to get word that one of the players' homes had caught on fire and probably is not there. And then we were, oh my gosh, this is really serious. As we're getting closer and closer to Hammonds Plains, where I live, the fire moved out of Upper Tantallon into Hammonds Plains, and they are adjoining communities. Our winds yesterday were southwesterly winds, 40 gusting up to 60 kilometers per hour, and we hit a high of 31 degrees. So it was hot, windy, and dry, and of course that fanned the fire into the surrounding neighborhoods. As we're going on the Hammonds Plains Road, and if you're familiar, you know that this road is two-lane, back and forth, oncoming traffic. It is a very congested road on the best of days. No matter what time of day, you're always going to get stuck in traffic on the Hammonds Plains Road because there's only one way in and one way out. So as we're driving and the traffic is coming in both directions, it went from daylight to darkness into the smoke as we're going in. So my two kids were in the car with me, and of course we're just trying to get home to get the kid to get the kids to get well, I call them the kids, my four-legged kids, the dog and the cat. And so we're trying to get into our subdivision. The traffic is horrific trying to get in. And at that point, our particular subdivision hadn't been evacuated, but we had just heard, we got the alert that the Westwood Hills subdivision was evacuated. So at that point, we were not evacuated or mandatory evacuation, but it was very clear that we all needed to get out of there. So I saw as I was pulling in my subdivision, the trucks, the Nova Scotia Power trucks, they were taking all the power down, getting all the power down. So while we, 2 minutes into the house, the power went out. And again, it is day. It's the middle of the afternoon. The sun is still high in the sky. It doesn't set here until after 9 o'clock. So there should have been plenty of daylight, but it was dark in the house because of the smoke, how much smoke that was there. And then we just got found the cat, got the dog. grabbed a few things. I'm thankful that I had a dentist appointment on Friday because I have a toothbrush in my purse. But we just grabbed a few things and we just got out of there. Normally, it takes me about a minute to get out of my subdivision from my house to the main road. It took 50 minutes to get out.
There's some dash cam footage that's floating around online from Hammond's Plains, and it shows – this is not you, but it shows somebody driving out of the neighborhood, and there's fire on both sides, and there's embers blowing across and heavy yes. smoke. Was there anything like that as you were trying to get out?
Oh, for sure. And my – I mean, I was driving, even though we were pretty much stopped for the while. My daughter has equally – the footage that was going on, and you know, people were panicking. They were upset. I want to say that, and I don't mean to sound to be make this sound mean or anything. You have to understand that there are firefighters, police officers on the scene, that, you know, they're putting their life at risk to help. But there wasn't a lot of organization to get people out of the subdivision. Mm. And again, there's one way in and one way out. And out of the subdivision I live, there's two ways out onto the main road. But one was blocked off because it was worse on the eastern side of the subdivision than it was on the western side of the subdivision. So people trying to get out of a very packed subdivision that continues to grow, like so many communities across this country, you know, there's so much expanding going on and people are moving in, but there's not a lot of foresight on how to get people out in case of an emergency.
Did you say that you got an emergency alert? This is a question, obviously, in the wake of the tragedy at Portapique, where people were saying you can't just tell people that there's an emergency on social media, that you need to have an emergency alert on your phone.
And that's right.
So you got something like that?
So we did. We got an alert to say that Westwood Hills subdivision was being evacuated. But the subdivision that I live in is called Highland Park, and we at that point had not gotten the alert. It was when we were in the house, the power had been shut off, and then we got the alert to evacuate. But I mean, it was clear when we were pushing in and trying to get into the Hammond's Plains area that we needed to get out. Mm. It was really, really bad. It was just like a movie, but you were in it and it was real. The scenes, I'm a meteorologist. I'm constantly looking at the sky. This is part of my passion. I have never seen a sun like that. It was red. It was when you could see it going into the smoke, and then when you couldn't see it in the smoke, what kind of sky? And to see the convection with these storms and how the smoke was swirling, being fueled by those winds, again, southwesterly winds, 40 gusting 60 kilometers per hour, it was something else, something I'll never forget.
So I'm just back from Alberta, where the fires yes. there were roaring. And what people were saying is that the conditions are such that these fires are burning earlier, they're burning hotter, they're burning differently because of what's in the forest, but also of a climate that's getting warmer and warmer and warmer. Are you seeing, I mean, this is in many ways the other side of the country, but is that what you're seeing as well?
Yes, absolutely. And we have to recognize that. And I'm glad that you brought that up because climate change is here. We are living it. This is just the beginning. May in Nova Scotia in the Maritimes is usually wet. We're not coming out of a drought-like conditions in May. It's never usually this cool, at least in the beginning part of the month, and at least by the, you know, the holiday weekend, usually most people are in their pools or at least opening up their pools at this time of year. Nobody's got their pools open because it has been so cold, and then it switched right away into the upper 30s, or not upper 30s, upper 20s, lower 30s, and it's been so dry across this province. Normally, we're harvesting strawberries. Well, there hasn't been enough water to make great strawberries, so we're not getting the strawberries. And this is all attributed to climate change, and it is real. And it's just the little things that we can do. One, talk about it, that it's happening, and plan for the future.
We're going to talk more about this in just a moment. Just before I let you go, do you know how the subdivision is, how your home is? Have you heard anything?
Well, I heard most of what I know from my son and from his baseball team because they're all very active on social media and chatting amongst their circles. And I know of three players that don't have homes this morning from our team. So if I know of three players, and now I know of about five or six people that I know just directly, not indirectly, directly, that do not have homes. As I'm speaking to you, I have no idea if my house is standing. I'm going to be finding out as the pictures come in throughout the day today. But again, I truly feel grateful. I have everything that I need. My kids are safe. My four-legged kids are safe, and we have a place to stay.
Wish you the best of luck. Tina, it's been quite a day. Thanks for talking to us.
You're welcome. Bye.
Tina Simkin is a CBC meteorologist. She was in Halifax.
Hello, I'm Jess Milton. For 15 years, I produced The Vinyl Cafe with the late, great Stuart McLean. Every week, more than 2 million people tuned in to hear funny, fictional, feel-good stories about Dave and his family. We're excited to welcome you back to the warm and welcoming world of The Vinyl Cafe with our new podcast, Backstage at The Vinyl Cafe. Each week, we'll share two hilarious stories by Stuart, and for the first time ever, I'll tell you what it was like behind the scenes. Subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts.
Scott Tingley is manager of forest protection at Natural Resources Nova Scotia. He's in the Provincial Fire Coordination Center in Shubenacadie, Nova Scotia. Scott, good morning to you.
Good morning, Matt. Thanks.
What do you know about the state of the fire right now?
I know the state of the fire is out of control. We're still waiting for an updated size. Department of Natural Resources officials are on site now. They're arriving through the night and into this morning. We're working very, very close with the municipal officials, RCMP, Emergency Management Office, trying to get an update on what's going on in terms of size and where we're thinking this fire might head today. So,
what are you up against in terms of trying to fight this fire?
It's a challenging situation. Obviously, terrible news about how it's been impacted the community. Already, challenges are, it was extremely dry, extremely windy yesterday. It was some of the worst fire conditions we've seen in a while. And these fires grew quickly yesterday, moved fast. And we had a wind shift start overnight with a cold front passage. So winds have changed direction today. And so that can present a challenge. So active fire perimeter that what we would call was the flank yesterday could become a head fire today. So officials and crews that'll be all part of their assessment in how they attack this today, with that wind shift. But things are still very dry. We didn't get any measurable rain or precipitation with that passage, and so things are still very dry.
Talk about the dry conditions. Tina was talking a little bit about that, and you'd been saying as well it's only May, that there was a wildfire earlier this month, I guess, on the other side of the province. And there are concerns about the conditions, again, things being dry, but also, I gather, because a lot of trees were knocked down or perhaps not cleaned up yet from post-tropical storm Fiona, that has led to more unstable conditions?
Yeah, it's, as your meteorologists have been mentioning, it's extremely dry. We've had well below normal amounts of precipitation for both March and April, from what I understand. We do have a few bits of rain kind of come through there, but it's very dry. In terms of damage from Fiona, certainly it's going to impact that. We're mostly seeing those impacts kind of Halifax to Truro and east. The western end where some of these fires are weren't as impacted, but anywhere where we got heavy amounts of downed trees, particularly softwood trees, but downed trees, that adds fuel to the fire. And so we're starting last fall, mapping had begun, to scope out how, where all this down debris is, and that work continues, and that's incorporated into how we respond. So, we know fires can spread a little quicker and become more intense, and where those heavier pockets of downed trees are, and that risk is going to, we'll be facing that for a few years to come as we wait for those trees to decompose and be less susceptible to burning. So in the western end, the province where we've had a lot of these fires this past spring, it hasn't been as impactful. As like I said, there wasn't as much Fiona impact in that region, but
it's definitely certainly a complicating thing. Yeah,
sure.
Just before I let you go, I mean, as I was saying, your colleagues in Alberta and British Columbia are already saying, as we make our way through May, that this is going to be a particularly challenging fire season. How worried are you about what's yet to come not even in the summer, but for the remainder of the spring.
It's been a very challenging season here at home, across the country. We work very close with all the firefighting agencies across Canada. We all try to help each other out, and that work continues. So we're all, you know, monitoring the conditions very closely, and I know a lot of work's going in to try to allocate resources and prioritize nationally to make sure that we're putting resources where they're going to be most effective and can mitigate the biggest impact. So it's going to be challenging. We need the weather on our side, but we've got a lot of hardworking, dedicated people out on the ground and in behind the scenes supporting all these incidents. And so really hats off to all the first responders and volunteers that are helping out. And we're doing our best.
Scott, thanks for this.
Thanks so much.
Scott Tingley is manager of forest protection at Natural Resources Nova Scotia.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.